Bibles and go to Psalms chapter 42. Anybody been there lately?
Yeah.
I want to know how many read Psalms chapter 42 this week, any at all? Read Psalms chapter 42. Try it one more time. I want to really see how many people read Psalms 42, because I want to kind of get an idea of who's going to be in trouble and who's not going to be able to get the help that they needed when they needed it, all right? Listen, I want to encourage you, read Psalms 42. If you didn't read it this week, read it this coming week. But let's go to Psalms chapter 42, and then you'll need to go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. So jump right in there, Genesis 27 and Psalms chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42, is everybody there say amen?
Amen.
As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David is wanting not a church service, not a religious experience. David wants to get a hold of God. God will bring you in your life sometimes to where you've got to get a hold of God. Nothing else will satisfy the need of your heart, the need of your soul, the need of your mind, except getting a hold of God. And it's possible to go to church and go to church and go to church and go to church and never get a hold of God. And that doesn't mean that everybody, I'm going to tell you something else. Don't blame everybody else and don't blame preachers. You know the old time song, oh, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And David got that point. If you notice here, David ain't blaming the priests. David's not blaming the Levites. He's not blaming his wife, wives, whatever the case was there. He's not blaming the kids and the grandkids. And he's not blaming the national economy. He's just saying, God, I need to get a hold of you. He said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. He's been crying. He's been crying hard. He's been crying day and night. You ever been there? Your whole soul's just weeping. I mean, you get alone, you get away from people, and you just weep. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, and that word they there is interesting to me. I believe that can encompass not only human beings, but devils too. I believe the devil talk to you. I mean, he'll try to implant thoughts in your mind. In fact, I know he does. He will inject lies into your mind. While they say unto me, where is thy God? Now, he said in verse number 4, when I remember these things, now underline that word remember, because this is the key. He said, I pour out my soul in me, and that's good to do. Don't pour your soul out to a psychiatrist. Pour your soul out to Christ, amen? Pour your heart out to God. Don't pour your heart out to a preacher. Amen. That's exactly right. Pour your heart out to God. You ladies, don't never pour your heart out to a preacher. Pour your heart out to your husband, if you want to. Pour your heart out to God, but don't be pouring your heart out to somebody else. That's bad business. Wrong. Now, by the way, ladies, don't pour your heart out to some other gossip sister, some other quacking hen. Some of you ladies, you need to get a hold of that. You're going to have a lot to give judgment for this gappy, 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 gappy on the telephone, talk. And, you know, it ain't about exalting nobody and helping nobody. It's about gappy, gappy, oh, finding out the latest gossip about somebody. It's a bunch of garbage. Amen. Amen. So, thank you, Brother Dennis. Only tough man in the crowd so far today. Amen. All right. Listen, you got to watch that garbage. It'll get you. It'll get you. I said I poured out my soul in me. You know, I mean, it just makes me tired. These women sometimes. Well, pour your heart out to another woman. You know what she's going to do? She's going to go tell a bunch of people. It ain't going to be like you poured it out. All right, you better listen to me. For I'd gone with the multitude, I went to them with the house of God. He said, I've been in church, and I'm not getting anything out of church right now. It's not helping me. He said, I was with them with the voice of joy and praise. He said, they was having a big time, and there was a lot of joy down at church. Have you ever been in a good church service, but it just wasn't, everybody else was having a good time but you. And he said, with the multitude that kept holy day. Verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted with him? He's asking himself. And then he does this. Now watch him. He's coming up out of the valley now. He's coming up out of the low ground. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's been down this dark valley, been down this dark ravine, and he's starting to come up now. Verse number 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, he said, as a result of my soul being cast down within me, Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. There's a message there. Hermonites was where the water started. The Mount Hermon was where the water started for all the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. That was the water spout. He said, I'm going to go to the fountain of blessings. Basically what that's about. Verse number 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. He's recognizing the sovereignty of God. Some of you say, well, I'm repeating myself from the other night. It needs repeating. Because I'm going to tell you something. As I said this, I've got up here and sung in different times, and you look in the congregation and you'll see just saddened faces. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God and your name's in the Lamb Book of Life and Jesus is preparing a place for you, there's not a lot of time in your life that ought to be spent with a downcast spirit. And David's dealing with being downcast. He's dealing with a spirit that's disquieted in his soul, and he's going to teach you how to deal with that. He says here, thy ways and billows are gone over me. He recognized that ultimately God is in charge of all the circumstances and affairs of his life. Yet, verse number 11, here comes out of this low spot. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer and the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? He feels forgotten of God. Have you ever been there? He feels like, God, you have forgotten me. Lord, where are you at? Lord, they're telling me, where's your God? And it even feels that way to me. Where is God? And you can sit there this morning and feel spiritual, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, I will say this to you. If you serve God and you press toward Christ, you're going to get the times in your life where you wonder where God's really at. You're going to wonder why things are like they are. And by the way, can I say to you, that's not a huge crime. That's not some horrible sin. It is a common experience in walking in faith. Don't let the devil tear you up and say, well, I'm not supposed to feel down. I'm not supposed to feel... Well, no, don't stay down. That's the deal. Don't stay down. God has given the remedy and the directions how to get out of the valley. Now, he said, God, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Verse number 10, as with a sword in my bones. You're talking about tough. A sword in your bones. Mine enemies reproach me. He's under reproach. He feels forgotten of God. And he said, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? But he finishes up. You watch. Here's what he does. Now watch this. David goes like this. Here's this. He's going down. And he's just, going down. But then you see him kind of coming up. And then he goes back down again. And you see him coming up. And finally, at the last verse, he comes out the top. And that's what God wants of you. Now, it's not that you're going to go through valleys and things and tough things. It's where you're going to come out at. A lot of people get down this valley, get down this dark hole, and they just stay there for the rest of their life. And God doesn't want you there. God literally wants you to live in victory. You ought to say that to yourself. You ought to speak some truth to yourself. God does not want me to live in the lowland all my life. God wants me. It is not spiritual to walk around with a frown and a discouraged look on your face and talk whining and mark. In fact, God, some of the children of Israel's worst problems in when they come out of Egypt? Murmuring. Complaining. Down. I ain't got enough to eat. I don't have enough clothes. God's got us out here starving to death. And they whined and they murmured and they complained. And that was one of the worst problems they had. And God does not want you to stay there. Now look at verse 11 when he comes out. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted with him? And here's how he finishes up. He says, hope thou in God. Amen. Say amen right there. Yeah. Hope thou in God. Don't put your hope in... God says don't put your trust in people. Don't put your trust in religion. Don't put your trust in your intellect. Don't put your trust in your performance. Don't put your trust in anything but God. He said, hope thou in God. For I shall yet do something. What? Praise him. You know, you can praise your way out of the valley. He said, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Now, I want to preach it. Go to Genesis chapter 27 while you're going there. I want to preach this morning on the folly of following your emotions. The folly of following your feelings. Y'all get that? Now listen to just a minute. The folly. You say, Reggie, how does this affect church? Let me tell you something. This Bible is the book of life. It has instructions for every conceivable situation that you're ever going to deal with. Anything you're ever going to deal with, the Bible's got the answer. Now the Bible teaches us here in this passage of Scripture that David was dealing with his emotions. Had God left David? No. Was God going to let David go? No. Was God just didn't care? Did God care about David any? Sure he did. But David was dealing with all these feelings. Does that make sense? His feelings were messing him up. And I'm going to tell you this morning, If you want a vibrant Christian life, don't let the folly of your feelings destroy you. Now, Genesis chapter 27, there's the law of first mention. The book of Genesis is a rocket book. I mean, I love that book. Why? Because it is the foundation of all biblical doctrine. Now, watch this. Really, everybody, I'll make you a deal. We get done with what I'm just getting ready to do, you can sleep the rest of the service. All right? You can sleep the rest of the service. But I want you to get at least this one. There is the law of first mention in the Bible. And in the law of first mention, you're going to find out what that subject is about the rest of the Bible. It'll give you the doctrinal truth about that subject, the rest of Scripture. Now watch this. The first time that the word feel is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 27. And it's going to tell you what to do with your feelings the rest of the Scripture and the rest of your life. And it's going to teach you how to deal with your feelings. And we're preaching on the folly of following your feelings. Some of you right now are following your feelings. Right now. You're not walking by faith, you are following your feelings. Now I'm going to show you in just a moment where your feelings will take you. Genesis chapter 27, let's take off here. Verse number 1, it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I'm old, I know not the day of my death, therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, to go out in the field and take me some venison. He said, Go kill me a big buck meat. Right on there. Anyway, kill me some venison. And make me some savory meat, such as I love. Bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch from them two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Now watch verse 11, 12. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. And my father, peradventure, will do something. What is he going to do? He said, My daddy is liable to feel me, Mama, and find out we're lying. Find out we're a bunch of deceivers. We're a bunch of crooks and hooks and liars. That there ain't any truth in us. He said, He's liable to feel us. And you know what she did? She fixed it up so that if he does feel him, he'll get fooled. What she does is this. She fixes it up so that if Isaac goes by his feelings, he'll get fooled. Now watch what happens. I shall see him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me then. Now, I want to tell you a little something. Emotions are running right now. You've got a mama who's got a favorite son, and she's afraid her favorite son's not going to get the blessing, and her emotions has taken over her whole... Did you know that his mother knew better than to lie like a dog like that? Did you know she knew better than that? But she was letting her emotions lead her. I mean, it's all embedded in this whole thing. Now, so verse number 14, went and fetched, brought to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as father loved. Verse 15, Rebekah took goodly raiment of the eldest son of Esau, which were with her in the house. In other words, he puts Esau's clothes upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And wonder why he asked that. What in the world would he... Why would he... You know why he asked that? Because Jacob probably... Now, I'm probably going to be extreme here, but Esau probably said, Hey, Daddy, I got the meat. Jacob walked, Daddy, I've got the meat. And Jacob and Isaac's going, Who's this? You know, it was something. Hey, y'all get the picture. Something kind of radar went up. Something ain't right here. And what's this? And so he said, Who art thou, my son? He said, Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. Now, what'd he do there? He lied. Did you know he lied? His lie was driven by emotions. His lie was driven by emotions brought on by evil in the heart. Now he said there, I have done according to thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? So now, first of all, here's the first warning sign. Don't sound like him. Second of all, how to get back so fast and cook it so fast. And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Line number two. Verse number 21. Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray that I may what? First mention in the Bible that a man's going to, where a man makes decisions based upon feeling. First time in the Bible where a man makes decisions based upon feeling, what he felt. One of the most dangerous things you'll ever do in your Christian experience is make your decisions based upon your feelings, your emotions. He said, let me feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto him, Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him. Look at verse 23, underline it. He discerned him not. Why are people being so deceived in America right now? Why are people so deceived in churches? Why are people being just led around by the nose by the devil in so many areas of their life? It's because they're running by their feelings. Their spirit tells them different, but their feelings, they're following, and it's folly always to follow your feelings. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him there, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will leave thy son's venison, and that my soul may bless. Then he brought it near to him, and he did drink, and drank. He brought him wine, and he drank, and so forth. You read on down through, and he stole the blessing. Once or twice, you know, the Muslims go to Mecca, and we go to Silver Dollar City about once a year. And I'm going to tell you something I despise with everything within me. That's a roller coaster. How many here hates roller coasters? Raise your hand. I'll tell you what, I can get along with you folks. Amen. Now, how many people just love a good roller coaster ride? I will never. Good land of living. Look at this mess in this church. This is horrible. You go to Silver Dollar City. Come on, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Come on. I ain't going on that stupid thing, and you ain't got any sense if you go. If you get killed, we'd probably just have a. I don't know what'll happen to you. We'd not even have a funeral for you. And they go down and they ride these roller coasters, and that roller coaster. And then it goes, and you're upside down. You say, ah! And people just laughing like they're having a good time. Then some people's coming off here like this here, you know. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing in the world. I mean, why in the, what in the world? Who decided they can make money taking people on a ride that nearly kills them? Do you know why? It feels good. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I really do despise them. They'll turn you up and they'll turn you upside down, sideways. And I never will forget that. Karen, close your ears for just a little bit. I was 16 years old, went to the Douglas County Fair at Ava. And there's a little girl over there that I thought was, you know, pretty and sweet and all that jazz. And we was walking around there to get, and that girl talked me into getting on some stupid machine over there. And this ended the relationship, by the way. This was no joke. The thing went up in the air, and then it started going around like this. But that wasn't enough to go around like that. It started spinning while you went around. About three rounds, I was puking everywhere. That was the last trip she took with me, amen. That relationship was over with. I even tried to ride that little duck deal down Silver Dollar City with Suzanne a few years ago, and I'm telling you, I thought the thing never was going to quit. I almost got sick before I go, I can't handle it. Now, there's a reason for that. One thing I've had to deal with over the years as a Christian is that I do have, one of the reasons I despise physical roller coasters because I have a tendency to ride spiritual roller coasters. And they make me sick. And they do much damage. You can say what you want to, but those things do, they do things to you. Some of you wonder why Don Zinn's kind of a little bit, he's rode too many roller coasters. Now let me say something to you. All emotions are not wrong. Because the Bible has a lot of emotions. The word emotion is not in the Bible. But the word feelings are. And we substitute the word feelings often for emotions. But all of them are not wrong. But let me give you an illustration of wrong emotions. And the folly of following your feelings. Moses, in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 8, God had told him to speak to the rock to get water out of it. But because he was following his emotions, he was following his feelings, he smote the rock twice. And because he followed his feelings, he was kept out of the promised land. Never did go into it, of course, later on in the New Testament you see him there, but I'm talking about as far as that journey. You know what Moses did? He followed his feelings. What caused him to feel angry? He was angry. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said that anger rests in the bosom of fools. The same word we get folly from. Anger is an emotion that God does not want you to have. And God says it rests in the bosom of fools. Okay? Now what got Moses there? Watch this. It's a little train ride. By the way, what is those little things that take you on roller coaster rides? They got little car seats, ain't they? Like little trains, aren't they? We're going to look at the tragedy or triumph of the train you're riding. And they're little cars, and you sit in the car, and you're riding on a little train on the roller coaster. And it's taking you. You're not taking it. And once you get on that train, how many's ever got about three, you just got 2 minutes into riding, and you thought, oh, I shouldn't have got on this thing. Why did I get on it? Why did I let them talk me into it? You know, it's weird because spiritual, emotional roller coasters are the same way. You get on that train and don't get, you know where you get, I'm going to tell you this first off. You know where you're going to get off that train at? The same place you got on it.
Yeah.
You don't get off that train midpoint without great damage to your life. And your spiritual roller coaster, you need to find out this morning where you got on and get off of it this morning.
Amen.
Now, you said, what happened? Well, the people murmured at Moses. And they griped at Moses. You know what Moses did? Moses got mad. If you're ever in spiritual leadership, get ready for a lot of people not to like you. You know why a lot of men, good men of America, are not surrendering to the pastorate? Because this country cannot take preaching no more.
Amen.
This country is full of church hoppers. Gripers, moaners, quitters, runners, stirrer-uppers, troublemakers, wounded spirits, riding on an emotional roller coaster through their spiritual world, leaving a trail of tragedy behind them. And let me tell you what the deal is. A lot of men say, you know what? I just don't want to be murmured about, talked about, backbitten. I don't want to put up with the garbage of it. They have seen families, preachers' families, destroyed by it, and they said, I don't want anything to do with it. Now, Moses got, they were murmuring, and you know what, that murmuring and griping and complaining, I want to ask you, Daddy, something. If your wife murmurs, nags, complains, and gripes, and your kids are griping, does it get to you after a while? And you know what it can do? If something goes wrong with the house, you know what the first instinct of most men is to get frustrated, and then he's angry because of things not going right behind the scene. And then he's angry. And then, you know what happens, guys? Just listen. Guys, the moment we started getting frustrated and angry, we got on that emotional roller coaster. And you said, well, I'm a man, I ain't emotional. Well, you're not. Do you ever get angry? If you get angry, you ride an emotional roller coaster. Just admit it this morning. It's not some manly deal. It's an emotional roller coaster that Satan knows how to take you on. So he creates the circumstances. Then you get on the train. Frustration, then it's the anger, and then he leads you on down the trail to disaster. But people, they were in Psalms 37, verse 8, the Bible says, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Ephesians 4:31, let all anger be put away from you. Not 95% of it, let all anger be put away from you. James 1:21 says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I want to say something to the young parents that are here today. This is a big deal with me. You can ask my kids if there was one thing they could not do when they were growing up. There was one thing above everything. This is what I hope they would tell you, and I believe they would. They better not be hitting on each other. They better not be treating each other wrong. And I'm going to tell you a little something. And this is to God's glory. But right now, every one of my kids works together. They're their best friends. And you know one reason before that? It was because they were taught to respect each other when they were little. You parents that are letting your kids hit on other kids, be it their sister, be it their brother, you are making a very dangerous mistake.
Right.
You parents that are letting your kids have little hissy fits,
You are training your kids to let their emotions run their life rather than truth run their life. You're teaching them to be totally driven by emotions and wrong emotions at that. They will learn that hitting and screaming and fighting and yelling is how you get things done and accomplished that I want in life if you let them run on that emotional roller coaster. Don't allow emotions to train your child. Let truth train your children. Y'all listening pretty good. There ain't many amens, so you're listening good. I'll say first of all this morning, emotions, feelings are so powerful we have a tendency to follow them regardless of where they lead us. This is biblically true. In Judges chapter 16, verse number 15, there's a man who was a Nazarite. He was separated unto the Lord. His name was Samson. And he got emotionally infatuated with a woman by the name of Delilah. And I want to tell you how powerful feelings are. Listen to me. I want to tell you how powerful feelings are. You ever heard of Romeo and Juliet? You ever wonder why everybody in the world heard of Romeo and Juliet? Because it's a story of people letting their emotions, which is very common to people, lead them. But guess where the emotions drove them?
Suicide.
Beware of the folly of following your emotions. Samson followed his feelings. He felt in love with Delilah. You watch how strong emotions are. She don't like him. She's nothing but a tool of the enemy. And you know what she does? She says, Samson, tell me, you know, the Philistines came, told Delilah, says, hey, you find out the means of power in this man, strength in me. So he tells him, what is it, cords? He says, oh, if you bind me with green cords, I believe it is, you know, green cords, I'll be like any other man. So she comes in, he goes to sleep, she ties him up. And he wakes up, he busts him off. She says, Samson, you mock me. You'd think the guy would say, hey, you know, what's this woman up to? She's got a bunch of Philistines sitting here. I told her the secret, supposedly the secret of my strength. What's she up to? She says, you mock me. She said, tell me the secret of your strength. Well, if you tie me with new ropes. Did you know what this happens? Three times before, and finally the last time he was getting real close. Because his hair, he said, you know, you braid up the hair, lock in the hair, you know. He was getting real close to the source of his power. Now, Samson is a picture, in a sense, of the church, and Delilah is a picture in typology of a false church and false believers, and how they will take the power away from a church, and it's thick across this country, and they will come into a church like this, and they'll try to tie down and bind down the power of God and take the power of God away from a church. But the practical illustration here in emotions is this, is that his feelings, his infatuation with Delilah was so, his feelings, by the way, flesh feelings, was so powerful that after three warnings, he finally, after three chances to bolt and run, his feelings was so strong, his emotions were so strong, it pulled him to his destruction. I'm telling you something this morning, what I'm preaching to you is not a joke. Some of you this morning are letting your feelings run. You don't follow faith. You're running your feelings. You're running by your emotions. And I'm telling you, it's going to lead you to trouble. It's going to destroy your life. Let me give you an illustration of this. Just the other day, I was in a place of business, and a woman was talking to me, and she said, Reggie, my grandson said he took a liking to this certain girl, and I knew her, and she's talking about this relationship that they had. And she said, and she broke it off the other day, and he is so devastated. He's about 15 years old. And this grandson is just devastated because this, you know what he's doing? Instead of going living by faith, which teaches just the opposite of that, he allowed his feelings to get infatuated with the girl. And you know what? All across America, there are teenagers who got infatuated following their feelings and their emotions tore up and their little hearts broken. It's not a funny thing. It's not just some little infatuation. It is a serious matter to not train your children and not train your own heart and mind to not follow feelings. Now, Samson, four times, you're talking about stupid. No, let me tell you something. You can be as smart as a whip. You can be intellectual. And you can know some scripture, but if you don't apply the scripture, but if you're following your feelings, you're falling. It's going to get you. And that's what happened to him. Genesis chapter 34, Shechem. The Bible said that he His soul, watch this, his soul, listen to it carefully, his soul clave unto Dinah. Dinah was running around, you know, she was circling the square on Saturday night. Shechem, he's there. He sees her. His soul clave unto her. What happened to Shechem? Anybody know? Him and his whole tribe got circumcised and slaughtered by two of Dinah's brothers. You know how that came to pass? Because Shechem followed his feelings. He followed his emotions. Oh, I think she's pretty. I think she's neat. I think she's cool. I think she's sweet. He said, Richard, where are you going to? I'm going to this. I'm telling the Bible. What does the Bible say about, if you're going to follow the Lord by faith, what do you do about marriage? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means you don't marry somebody that's not a committed Christian. Period. That's what you follow. You follow the facts. You don't follow your feelings. But how many girls say, well, I'm going to change him after I marry him. Sister, you wake up in Lululand someday. You don't change these guys. Genesis chapter 39. An emotion. Potiphar's wife. She got an emotion. She had emotional attachment and attraction toward Joseph. Love has turned. Instead of love being defined by Scripture, we've defined love as some kind of an emotional. You know what most people in America think? Think that love is some kind of emotional feeling. It's not true at all. Read 1 Corinthians 13. It may involve some type of emotion. I'm not against emotion, but the right kind of emotion within the bounds of God's Word. But the majority of Americans think it's some kind of emotional something, you know, here, you know, that you say, oh, I got this feeling. Well, I just feel. I just had this feeling. It's in our churches. It's in walking by faith. Oh, I had this feeling. We're going by our feelings. We're going by everything but the Word of God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, this man of God. Let me tell you how emotions can get you. He got wore out from being in service. He got wore out being in battle. He was exhausted. He was tired. And whenever Jezebel said to him, you know what, I'm going to have your head. I'm going to kill you. Did you know what took over? His feelings took over rather than his faith. And you know what he did? He began to, watch this, he began to fear. And when he began to fear, he began to flee and he began to run from the battle. After his fear caused him to flee, he got into discouragement, he got into depression, and he became suicidal. And you think, well, I could never get there. You just follow your feelings and see where it takes you to. Naomi followed her feelings. She was bitter. Saul, his emotions, his feelings, he felt jealousy. Watch this. He felt jealousy toward David. The Bible said from that moment he eyed David. Be careful with the people you're working with. Can I tell you about Americans? They're the worst people in the world I know of to be jealous of anybody who has any success. Do you know what that's what socialism is based on right now? That's what socialism is based on, communism based on. They don't want anybody else to be successful. You pull everybody down to this low level. Y'all get ready because the Senate passed this and this closet Muslim president we've got signs it. We're in a historic sea change in this country to bring us to a third world status. I'm going to say further, that man is a traitor, and he ought to be, I'm going to tell you, Barack Hussein Obama ought to be tried for treason right now in this country. Any man who the first thing he says about our soldiers being killed, well, don't be questioned. Now, be careful about assigning motivations here. The first thing he did was protect the Muslims. And total religious freedom, by the way, folks, and I'm on a rabbit trail, realize that, is not possible in this old sin-cursed world. Somebody's going to dominate, either the Bible-believing Christians or Muslims or any other church. They ain't all going to live in cohesion together, never have, never will, if Jesus comes. But anyway, Saul got jealous. The whole world's jealous of America, of God's blessings on America. You watch out that you, let me tell you something, if you get jealous, you know what jealousy is? It's as cruel as the grave. I never saw such a group of people as jealous as preachers are. That is an honest, flat truth. They're jealous of everything. Jealous, jealous, jealous. They're so jealous they can't even, their whole lives are consumed by it. I'm telling you, listen, America is a jealous people. This jealousy led to another feeling, that was anger. That led to thoughts of murder. And he tried to kill David. He hated him. And he was following his feelings. When he saw, watch this, when he saw those women dancing and praising, saying Saul's killed 1,000, but David's killed 10,000. Boy, that emotion, that feeling popped up in him and that jealousy began. And you know what? From that moment to the day he died, he was driven and pulled by his emotions rather than the Word of God. I'm telling you, the Bible's so full of this. Pilate, you know what the Bible says? He was driven by an emotion. to allow him to crucify Jesus. I realize the sovereignty of God in play here, but you know what? It said he feared the people. Fear brings torment. You'll be afraid of what people think of you or say of you. Get over that. Judas had an emotion of covetousness. Peter, when he denied the Lord, had fear. That fear led to denial. There's just case after case in the Bible of it. Secondly, not only, first of all, understand that emotions are so powerful, they can lead you to places you never dreamed you'd go. Secondly, understand why and how God made emotions. Now, what was God's original design in emotions? You know, the Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, right? That's an emotional response. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not want you being stoic, you know, just your whole life. I mean, I know some people are cut out different, and that's okay. But God did create you breathing, moving, you know, smile. There's things you can do and have emotions. And what, you know what? Some people, because their feelings lead them to a stoicism. They've been hurt, so they're never going to be happy again. And they're never going to put their heart out there where anybody can hurt them again. And then, you know what's the most dangerous thing you can do in as a Christian? You've got this plastic, really smile. I'm a Christian. I know I'm supposed to be happy. I'm not happy, but I'm supposed to be happy. And I wouldn't want anybody to think I wasn't happy. That is so fake and phony. I want to tell you something. People see they see through that so fast, make your head so, you ain't fooling nobody. You don't fool nobody. It's a window of the soul. What was God's original design and intent in emotions? We're made in the image of God. God has love. God has joy. God has peace. God has harmony. And He put them in it. Now, the primary emotional consequence of the fall and the curse on men and women. And it's really, really evident to see. I mean, what happened as a result? Because here, God created us to have these good, these righteous emotions. They're good. Love and joy and peace, okay? What happened as a result of curse, as a result of the fall? You just see it, bam, it hits right there. Hey, do you ever notice that little boys, you know, they're kind of just little boys, but when they get to be about 13, they get tough. Yeah. You whoop somebody. Does anybody know what's going on in them? There's some hormones coming up in them. I's the buck of this woods. And they get this, you know. Does anybody know what happens to girls? She just smiles at that guy. And she spends 40 hours a week. I wonder if he'll look at me this Sunday when I walk in. Oh, if I would do this, he would look at me. You know, it's all her emotions. Can I tell you something? Your emotions drive the way you dress, the way you fix your hair, the way you look at people. They are driving you. If you're not following in faith in the Word of God. The primary emotional consequence of the fall for men is anger. Frustration and anger. Jesus, the Lord told Adam, said, you're going to work the ground, sweat. How many goes out to work sweat and the tractor broke down? Everything goes wrong. How many's ever tried to go out and make a living? Guys? How many's ever had things go wrong? How many's ever got frustrated because of it? Nothing works around here. Everything tears up. How many's ever just wound up, you took that ranch, you vroom! Why do men hit walls? They're frustrated. And they get angry. And by the way, why do men hit women? Anger and frustration. And by the way, can I just remind you that I've preached this before, but you're a slimy little low-down coward if you hit your wife. Amen. You ain't worth shooting. You little punk. Why don't you go whip Kenny James after church? It'll be all right, won't Kenny? I'll stick him on you. Amen. Buck, you be out there, won't you? Go pick on somebody big boy. No, you're a little wimp. Behind the doors of your house, you're beating on your wife because you're mad. You're frustrated. Everything went wrong. You take it out on your wife. Oh, my goodness. There's a little girl, a little boy in your house. You start kicking on them and jumping on them and you're frustrated. You're mad at everybody. That is a evidence of the curse, the fall of man in the emotional realm of a man. Now, what happens? What's the emotional curse of a woman? What happens? What happened to her? We're going to go broke following him. She's always scared, fearful, insecurity, fearfulness. That's why you got these butch-looking women out here. They watch their mama be scared all their life at their dad's stupid decisions. Well, I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be a butch. The devil drove you clear over the cliff, didn't he? Now, it's interesting. In Genesis chapter 3, did you notice that God dealt with her reproductive aspect? He spoke of the issue of this, of being, he said, in bearing children. Did you catch that? The first thing that God says to Eve after the fall is about the children, bearing children. In sorrow shall you conceive. It's hormones. It's fear. She's afraid of shaky leadership, insecurity, having to live with unwise decisions. So in men, it's anger. In women, it's fearfulness. And it drives them. Let me tell you what's driving a lot of girls to do what they do. They're afraid they're not going to catch a boy. I mean, if I don't let him know that I am changing, I'm liable to get missed. If he doesn't see me, he's gonna miss me. So I've got to, buzz, 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 buzz. I mean, oh, and Mama, can I buy this blouse? It'll show the little, crease right here. And I mean, maybe he'll look at me. And you're already driven by your emotions. You're already driven by fear. Would somebody please look at me? Because I need security in my life. And you're not walking by faith knowing that Jesus said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. You're already driven by your emotions. Where are the emotions located? Well, there are godly biblical emotions. Love, joy, peace, enthusiasm. That enthusiasm comes from the word God. Exciting, thrill. These are produced by the Holy Spirit. You don't get them at the Sears and Roebuck. You don't go down to Walmart and get them. They're produced by the Holy Spirit. But these are emotions that are part of the image of God that He's made us. Now, where are these emotions located? They're located inside. Now, a while ago I said this, you can get stoic and you can get to where, well, I'm just not going to be happy anymore. I'm not going to be up. I'm not going to be down. I'm just going to be. No, you're still letting emotions drive you, aren't you? That fear of failure, that fear that you were happy and you got knocked down is keeping you from ever being happy again. I'm not going to get my hopes up. You ever said that? Why do you say that? Why do you make such statements as, well, I'm not going to get my hopes up? What you're saying is I'm driven by my emotions. And if I got them up and God didn't come through like I wanted to come through, I would be devastated emotionally. Is that making sense?
Amen.
Driven by emotions. Our emotions are inside. You know, God, the Bible says God created Adam, formed him out of the clay ground, and he did something. Adam didn't move a finger. Watch this. Adam didn't move a finger till what? Till he breathed in him the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. Now listen to me. The soul to me is a mystery. A lot of things are mystery to me. I just take it by faith. But I will tell you this, that I do believe that the soul encompasses our mind, our will, and our emotions. Watch that. Mind, will, emotion. I believe that. I didn't say that was all it's composed of, because it's not. But I will say that it is encompassed in our soul, is mind, will, and emotions. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says this, keep thy soul. Watch this. Keep thy soul. If the mind and the will and emotions is in the soul, remember what David said over there in Psalms 42 when we took off this morning? That was 3 hours ago, by the way. No. David said, I will remember. I'll remember. One of the ways that David brought himself up out of that emotional roller coaster was by remembering truth, getting his mind fixed back on truth. Somebody has said we forget what we ought to remember and we remember what we ought to forget. As part of our cursed mind, if we follow our emotions, that's what we'll do. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16 says, obey with the soul. So we're to keep our soul, we're to obey with the soul. There are several different emotions listed in the Bible. Listen to this real quick. Genesis 42:21 talked about when we saw the anguish of his soul, you can have anguish. Numbers 11:6, our soul is dried up. Some of you looking for revival in your own personal life. Your soul's dried up. Could be to being driven emotionally. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, their soul was discouraged. Now listen to this. It's talking about the soul. It said the soul was in anguish. The soul was dried up. The soul was discouraged. In Deuteronomy 12:15, their soul lusted after. Your soul can desire. in Judges chapter 16, verse 16, vexed. It said Samson's soul was vexed. In 1 Samuel 1:10, Hannah was in bitterness of soul. Job 3:20, he was in bitterness of soul. He was miserable in misery of soul. I mean, has anybody ever experienced any of these emotions, these feelings? Feelings of anguish, feelings of discontent, feelings of dried up, feelings of discouragement, feelings of desiring something you don't have, feelings of being vexed and wore down, feelings of bitterness, feelings of misery. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 39, it talks about the longing soul. Longing. The soul can start longing and start lusting. In Psalms 35, verse 9, a joyful soul. In verse 13, an humble soul. In Psalms 141, verse 8, a destitute. You ever felt destitute? In Isaiah 42:1, my soul's delight. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, talking about Christ, the travail of his soul. In Jeremiah 31:25, a weary soul. A sorrowful soul. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, their soul was in fear. In John 12:27, they had a troubled soul. In Genesis 34, verse 3, it said his soul clave unto her. In Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse number 1, a soul that loves. So God is saying there's all this wide, and by the way, that's just part of, there's a wide range of feelings and emotions that a person can have. And by the way, don't just blow off your kids' emotions. Learn how to get them directed back. We're going to see how to do that. Number 5, you must not follow your emotions unless they're biblically sound. I told you earlier, emotions are not found, the word emotion is not found in the Bible, but the word feel is, and the first mention of it is teaching us that we can be led to folly by following our feelings. You say, Reggie, what happened to Jacob? What happened to Isaac because he followed his feelings? How many of you knows that his mother never saw him again? Gone. That's it. No more fellowship, no more nothing. Why? Because they all were following their emotions in that family. Secondly, he never did see his daddy again until about the time his daddy died. Check it out in chapter 35. So you know what happened to him? It robbed Jacob of all those years of his life that he could have had with his family because he was driven by his emotions. You can have feelings of loneliness, feelings of rejection, feelings of betrayal, and feelings of failure, and it goes on and on. Now, we're going to do a little bit of something here. I call this the train of tragedy. You get on the roller coaster here, and you go up this hill of excitement. And you go up, and this is what happened. This is why American young people are so emotionally messed up, and why all the drug companies love it, because they're making millions off of emotionally messed up kids. And they get all emotionally up, you know, with this girlfriend, boyfriend thing. And they go up, and boy, they just, and all about, and they're devastated. And so they go down. In fact, but you know, here's what's kind of interesting. There's a strange thrill to devastation. Strange thrill, oftentimes. And so now, we're down here in this valley of this hole of disappointment. All right? Now, move on. And so here comes that one like this. That's on the loop of confusion. Right? Yeah, and right in here somewhere it's in the hole of where everything is upside down. I mean, he's ever said, my whole world's been turned upside down. I mean, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. And then usually after that, there's this drop into the hole of bitterness. You're mad at the whole world. You thought life was going to be, you know, sweet and life was going to be good, so now you're down this hole of bitterness. And then from bitterness, you turn into an angry person. Oh, you come to church, you smile, you put on that. Arr! When you get back to the house. Dr. Jekyll, Hyde. You're an angry person when the real you comes out because you've been on a ride and God didn't tell you about that ride you was taking. And you're mad. So now you're down here in this whole, this lowland of discouragement and depression. So now you're going to see a psychologist. You're going to go see a Christian counselor. You need counseling now. And you know what? Then you live in a hole of fear. I'm going to make a roller coaster ride. We'll put it up out here on the 16 acres. We'll get a lot of people, you know, make a lot of money for a church, right? Those, y'all ride it, I know that. No, I'm just teasing. And then you come over here and it's worry. And then here comes along carnal security. And carnal security takes you right back up to, oh, the hill of excitement. I met somebody new. And here we go. Boom. Angry, depressed, fearful, worried. Carnal security again. I'm driven by my emotions. You know the funny thing about us roller coasters? You know one reason I really hate roller coasters? They don't take you anywhere. They're going nowhere. I can get in the truck. I can go home. At least I'm going somewhere. But they don't take you nowhere. And people are sitting in churches and they're sitting in their homes. And they're riding this emotional, spiritual roller coaster that just takes them round and round and round. And preachers are having their counseling sessions with them, and it's not doing no good. And let me tell you where your emotions will drive you. Watch this, and I've seen this over and over and over again. Reggie, would you go talk to my so-and-so? Said she's fixing to leave him, or he's fixing to leave her. So, you know, I'm hoping I sure will if I get a chance. You know, I'm not going to barge in, but if they want to talk to me, I'll sure talk to them. How many knows why I'm not very excited about going to talk to him? Because when I get to talk to him, here's what I hear. Watch this. Listen to it. What's the problem? Well, I just don't love him no more. What do you mean you don't love him? I don't know. I just don't love him anymore. Something's happened. I just don't love him anymore. What are they saying? That I run by my emotions. My whole life runs by how I feel. Here's what's the famous one. I just don't feel anything for them anymore. And I'm going to tell some of you sitting out here in this audience, you listen to me this morning, I'm not preaching to the cars going up and down the street. You better get off that roller coaster. It will destroy you. I don't feel anything. Now, you know what they do? They're totally controlled by their emotions because I don't feel anything. Would you consider looking at the Word of God? No, I've done that. Watch this. I've already made my mind. Don't try to talk to me. I've already made my mind. Remember what I told you earlier in the message? Emotions are so powerful, they will lead you. And you will follow them even against the Word of God. What's this one here? Well, I've met this guy. Well, is he saved? Well, no, but he's really a nice guy. And I just there's just something I feel. I mean, it's just so neat. I just feel it. This is it. This is the one. I just feel it. And so they're driven by their emotions. And those emotions are going to go. And all the truth and everything in the world, just like Samson, just my emotions control my whole life. Did you know your emotions control how you get up and talk to your family members in the morning?
Well, I didn't sleep very good. Well, my neck hurts. My back hurts. Yeah,
you just wake up just a growly bear. Because you're led by your emotions. You don't stop and think, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm so thankful to have a bed to sleep in, a house, a home, a family to be here. I've got heat in my house, food in my house. God is so good to us. Good morning. Instead of being led by truth, you're led by your emotions. Around and around it goes. And where it stops, nobody knows. Watch this here. Psalms 53, verse number 5. I had never caught this till this morning. I looked this verse up about 15 minutes before I left for church. Listen to it. Mark it in your Bible. There were they in great fear where there was no fear. Whew. Ladies, if I were you, every one of you, I'd circle that verse in my Bible. There were they in great fear where there was no fear. How many of you ever found out that what you fear doesn't usually happen? What you're afraid of, it didn't turn out that bad. Here's how you need to work. I'll try to get this done. Anybody know what happened here? I want you to get this. Boy, that stuff is thick on there, ain't it? I know this may be a little boring, but sometimes when you're into teaching, preaching and stuff, here's how most of the world works. They got circumstances, And that's their little engine that drives their whole world. Circumstances. Car broke down. So that little train, that little emotional train that starts frustrated. And that little car has got a car behind it called anger. And anger's got a little car about it called blow up. And here's what happens. Affects disaster to your life and to those around you. See, what a lot of people, they see the circumstance, but here comes this. If you're led by your emotions, following your emotions. In fact, here's how most people run their life. They have an engine on their train of their soul, and this engine is called feelings. And feelings pull the whole train of their life. And I'm asking you this morning that you would begin to pray in your heart right now while I'm preaching. God, I will no longer let feelings run and pull my life. Here's how God wants you to operate. God wants you to operate with an engine called faith. And that faith is based upon the Word of God. I'm not a very good artist. But here's this faith. Now here's what happens. The feelings, it pulls up, again, we talk about emotions, and then that's pulling your will and your mind's way back here. Have you ever seen anybody say, they lost their mind? What in the world are they thinking about? They've lost their mind. Why would they do such a stupid thing? It's because their feelings are pulling them. It's pulling the whole train. Now here's what God says. God says, you let truth. That's why the Bible says, think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Think on these things. What things are just, whatsoever things are pure, you think on these things. Because what you think on, what you let lead the way. And if you run by your emotions rather than by faith. All right, here's the feeling says, feelings will say, will bring, what happens is you wind up out here with doubt and unbelief and everything else. And your feelings is just going to lead you crazy. It's going to lead you on this wild deal. It's going to lead you like it did Samson. It's going to lead you like it did Moses. It's going to lead you like it did all those people I read you about in the Bible. And you're going to train, and you will, ever heard of a train wreck? You'll train wreck. But if you let faith lead your deal, and here's what happens. Faith, the Word will determine your mind. Watch this now. Watch carefully. Mind. Your mind will determine your will. And your will determine the outcome. Because if your will is submitted to faith, you will obey the Word of God. God is saying, you let my Word. What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That's the only thing that needs to be answered. And if you put that first, and you put that in your mind, hey, I don't care what I feel. In my mind, I will only put in my loud mouth. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why did God say that? Because He doesn't want you led around by your feelings. He's saying, listen, you take the Word of God, you put the Word of God in your mind, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. He said, that will affect your will and your will will decide, and that's where the obedience comes. That's what, look, let's go back again to the guy over here. They say you're leaving your wife. Yeah. Oh, how come? Well, I just don't feel anything for her anymore. So now that emotion has affected his will. Don't talk to me. It's over with. I'm not willing to discuss it. There's no point in discussing it. So it went too far. I have heard that over and over and over. So I don't even want to talk to people anymore because that's the way they all are. They are not interested in what the Word of God says. They will not let their lives be run by it. And you know what? You're the flock that God has called me to pastor. And I would just really appreciate and I would just beg of you this morning and beseech you in Jesus' name that you would decide this morning, I'm going to get off of the emotional roller coaster that's been leading me. And I want to show you something this morning happened. God, you know what's the joy about preaching and pastoring this church? God is so in charge, it's not even funny. I mean, it's such a joy. I have gotten to my age. I'm 56 now. And, I've been in business a long, long time, since I was 20 years old. Sold my first sale when I was 20 years old. And I've done a lot of business with a lot of people. And as the years go by, there's just something been happening to me the last two or three years where sometimes the phone ring, I don't want to answer it. You ever get there? I don't want to answer it. And I've really decided that a phone is not going to ruin my life. That I'm not on beck and call to the whole world. And you just can't be. I'm not God. Okay? But that doesn't mean I don't want a phone call. And if you folks need me, you call me. But here's something happened this morning. Just about time, and I mean this, just Lord just rolled me up with this, said, now go up here and preach on yourself. Phone rung, and it was just, they were getting ready to go out the door and stuff, and one of the girls kind of looked at me like, well, you know, and I was like, nope, this is Sunday morning, just let it go. I don't want to answer it. And I said, by the way, where's it from? They said, 319 something, area code, and I was like, who in the world's calling me on Sunday? You know, I don't want to talk to somebody. It's Sunday morning. I want to go to church. I want to worship God. I don't want to, it's probably somebody, you know, wanting to know what a cow's worth somewhere or something. You know, I don't know, no. And so the girls left out, and I didn't answer the phone. Well, I was back here getting ready, and I'm trying to get, and that little deal's going, beep, beep. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I ought to answer it, you know, in case somebody's, you know, really got some troubles or problems or whatever, you know. So, and Brother Larry, forgive me, this is on tape. But I had called Brother Larry Brown this week. I'd heard that he was discouraged. I had the church pray for him Wednesday night. Remember that? And I was out on my walk this morning, not praying for him. And I had called up there and couldn't get home. By the way, he was taking his wife to Mayo Clinic for some more tests. And his secretary, she says, Reggie, he's not taking any calls today, but I can get a message to him. And I said, would you give him this message? I said, I'm going to make a prescription to him. Psalms chapter 42, I want him to read it twice every day for the rest of the week. And just tell him this hillbilly preacher down in southern Missouri. Tell him I love him, I want to encourage him in the Lord. When I hit that voicemail deal, guess who was on the phone? Brother Kelly, this is Brother Larry Brown. I'm heaven bound with a heavenly sound. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground, I'm looking for a hole in the sky. And I got your message and said, I read that chapter to my whole staff this week, and we're on cloud nine. Man, God has lifted us up and we're headed to heaven. Now, you know what? Listen, watch this. My emotion of fear of somebody's problem drove me away from that phone. And you know what? I came to church so encouraged because of the call. What I thought, what my feelings thought was not true at all. And I almost got robbed of a faith-building blessing. It's like God said, Reggie, I just wanted to give you that illustration that you need this worse than anybody. You were right now driven by your feelings, not by faith. We may tonight do a little more diagramming on this. I think it's time to go. I know we've got dinner and so forth. But remember back a couple of weeks ago preaching on girding up the loins of your mind. This is where this all started. Girding up the loins of your mind. Go this way. Mind, will, emotions. Not emotions, will, and mind. Totally backwards. What we're letting happen is our emotions running. You may have the emotion of fear out here today. Quit letting it drive you. Quit letting the emotion of worry destroy you. Quit letting the emotion of doubt discourage you. Throw you out. I love y'all. I hope this helped. Did this help anybody? I hope it helped you. It helped me. But God has to rattle my cage a little bit, you know. I show you this is for you, bud. This one's for you. Let's stand together. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I think it'd be appropriate to do some business with God. Listen to me carefully. I want to talk to those that are unsaved in this church house this morning. I've had many people tell me they're waiting for a feeling to be saved. Don't do that. It's faith. You get the facts. You're lost. You're a sinner. You're unsaved. And you're headed to hell. But God loves you and sent His Son to die for you on the cross. He loves you. He shed His blood for you. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again to give you eternal life. Those are the facts. If you'll repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will save you. Those are facts from the Word of God. But if you're waiting on some kind of sensation, you're waiting on some kind of feeling, did you know what that feeling will ultimately do? It'll lead you to hell. If you're following your emotions this morning, waiting on some kind of a feeling about being saved, your emotions will lead you to hell. That's how serious. I haven't finished preaching this message. I'm honest with you. I just think it's time to quit. But I can't leave without telling you how dangerous it is, the folly of following your feelings. Because the Bible said we're saved by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And what you've got to understand this morning is the facts are that you're lost and you can't save yourself and you couldn't keep yourself saved. And Jesus died and shed His blood, and He died in your place for your sin. And He took your sin upon His own body on that tree. And He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And if you'll place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you put that faith, you put that word first. The feelings will come later probably. But if they never come, you're saved by faith. You're saved by faith. Some days I feel saved. Some days I don't feel saved. I'm glad I'm not. My basis is not my feelings. It's not my emotions. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I pray that you'll put the train of life, make it a train of triumph, not a train of tragedy. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Act on the facts. Act on faith. Don't worry about the feelings. Many people have good feelings after they're saved because of the load of sin lifted and the peace and assurance that the Holy Ghost gives them. And they have joy in the Lord. But oftentimes the feelings are not very good right up to the point of salvation. There's a brokenness. Those of you who are saved here today, I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to show you how Jesus never let emotions run His life. When He was on the cross, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible said that He despised the shame for the joy that was set before Him. You know what He did? He put things in order. He put the will of God. He took the facts. He took the faith and He put it in order. He took the truth and He let the feelings do what they wanted to do. And He gave us the pattern for living the Christian life. Not only is He our salvation, He's the pattern for living that life after we're saved. And you can never find Jesus Christ being led by His emotions, being led by His feelings. He was always led by the truth. And He put the truth in the forefront of His mind. Some of you today have been driven by fear and worry and doubt. You're worried about finances. And I realize that we often are visited, you know, we reap what we sow. I understand that. But I'm telling you, He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I want to ask you today, would you just make a conscious prayer in your heart and your mind to God, right? Lord, I'm getting off this roller coaster of feelings. I am tired of being drug around it and around it and around it and over and upside down and around again and again in my life. And I'm going to start living by faith in the Word of God. Let me tell you something, folks. When you face death, as Sister Loveless faced death, if you don't have your feelings, surely dying doesn't feel so good, but by faith you can face it. And I'm telling you something this morning. If I've ever preached a message that I think could help your life, I think it's this morning. And I'm going to ask you right now, would you join me in making a commitment, Reggie, by the grace of God? By the grace of God? By the grace of God. I'm getting off the train of feelings. That train will no longer be an engine to my life. I'm going to make it a caboose. The feelings will come if they want to, but I'm not letting it drive me. And I'm going to let the truth of God's Word. He loves me. He'll never leave me. He's given me eternal life. He's gone to prepare a place for me.
He has forgiven me. My sins are gone. They've been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm engraven in His hands, and He's coming after me. He's preparing a place for me, and I'm going to be with Him in eternity. And all of hell roars against me. I'm not trusting my feelings by God's grace anymore. I'm trusting the Word of God to run my life. Would you just acknowledge that by a hand? If you've made that commitment, would you raise your hands for me? By God's grace, I'm not running by feelings anymore. I'm going to run by faith. I'm getting off this train this morning, this emotional up and down, around, upside down emotional thing, and I'm going to live by the faith of the Word of God. God bless you, many of you this morning. God bless you. Father, this morning we come before You, Lord, just standing, Lord, in amazement at Your wisdom, at Your life, at Your power, at Your glory, at Your goodness. Father, this morning You know my heart's desire for these people and their families. Lord, as it is for myself and my family, that we not be driven by emotions of fear and wrong emotions, but we'd be driven, Lord, and led by the Word of God, the facts, the truth. And Lord, that those facts and those truths will affect our minds, and that what's in our minds will affect our will, and that our will be made submissive and obedient to the Word of God, irregardless of what the circumstances look like. God, I think so much about Elijah right now, God, and when his servant said to Elijah, all the armies of the enemy were out there, and he was all shook up by what he saw, by the circumstances. And God, old prophet walked out there and said, Lord, open his eyes. He can see the truth, the facts on the ground. Lord, the hillside was covered with chariots of fire and horses of fire and the armies of God. And that old boy saw it. And Lord, he said, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. Lord, You said greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. You said that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God, help us to take the truth and to set us free from being led by our feelings. And get off of that little old train that leads us around and around, taking us nowhere for God. Lord, bless these hands that went up. Bless these daddies. I pray, God, that we'll not be led by our emotions. Bless these mothers and ladies of the church, God. I pray that You'll bless them, God, and give them a hunger for the truth, and to be that their minds, Lord, would be controlled by the truth. That, Lord, no matter who else forsakes them, no matter what happens, that You'll always there. That You'll never leave them and forsake them. Lord, when You said, I am with Thee, what a statement that is. Fear not, for I am with Thee. God, help us to grab hold of that and what it means for You to be with us. And so, Lord, I just pray, take this message, make it part and parcel of who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.